Hey everyone, it's great to be back with you. My name is Lena Abujamra. If for some reason this is your first Morning Minutes, we want to welcome you especially. If you've been here for the long haul, we are in the tail end of our study of 1 Corinthians in a series called Listen Up, Applying Biblical Wisdom for Everyday Life. And we have really gotten to know this book. I hope you've enjoyed it and are enjoying it. Today we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and just a couple of verses, we're going to rest our minds on grace. And there's no thought or idea or anything that I'd rather talk about and think about than God's grace. I hope you feel the same way. Paul certainly did, which is why this, in episode 56, we're going to focus on what you need to know about grace, all right? Grace has been summarized, God's riches at Christ's expense. Think about that. It's a good definition of grace. I've called it God doing what, accomplishing for us what we could not do on our own. That is Dallas Willard's sentence. I don't want to plagiarize him. But regardless, here's what Paul says about it in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 11. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. And that was the story of the church in Corinth. Paul, by God's grace, had preached the gospel to them, and they had given their life to Jesus. And now he writes them this letter of rebuke because they had fallen into patterns of worldliness and sin. And we have covered a whole array of Christian conduct that he hits up, and some topics were uncomfortable and others were encouraging, and now he kind of comes to the discussion of what the gospel is and God's grace in our life. So here's what we need to know about grace. Number one, grace is available for everyone, always. Okay, that is incredible. All right, you are not too far gone for God's grace. You haven't sinned beyond God's ability to pour his grace on you. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Paul wrote that in Romans chapter 5. No one ever is outside the reach of God's grace. If you're breathing, God's grace is yours. No one is too good for God's grace. And no one, but here's a key, no one can receive God's grace without humility. The story of Paul is an awesome story in Acts chapter 9, where he was literally on the road killing Christians. He had just finished killing Christians, and he was going to look for more Christians. And Jesus met him on the road and revealed himself to Paul, and he went from being Saul to becoming Paul, and he became the probably, arguably, the greatest Christian who ever lived, wrote most of the New Testament, and never lost sight of who he was before God's grace and after God's grace in his life. But he needed humility to receive it. And so let's keep that in our hearts as we approach God today. So grace is available for everyone always. Number two, grace is not opposed to effort, but to earning. All right? You don't earn grace. You cannot work your favor or God's favor into your life. You cannot do enough Christian things. You're not Christian conducting yourself into God's grace. No, your Christian conduct is an outflow of God's grace. God has poured his grace on you because you see that and recognize his grace. As a result, your life overflows with holy living, with loving relationships, and on and on and on. Just because it's grace does not mean we don't work hard, though. See, there's two sides of the coin. There's one side we say, man, I got to earn God's favor. That's false. But the other side says, I already got God's grace. I don't need to do anything. That's not biblical either. Just because it's grace doesn't mean we don't work hard. Effort is involved. Paul wrote in his writings for us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, we're not earning our salvation, but we're examining ourselves and we're aligning ourselves with the Lord and we're allowing his grace to sanctify us. And so we're not earning his favor, but effort is involved in the Christian life. And just because it's grace means we don't need to work for it. So two sides to the coin. I don't want to repeat myself to confuse you, but grace is not opposed to effort, but to earning. Grace available for everyone always. And number three, grace saves us not because of our potential, but despite it. Okay? And by the way, speaking of effort, I mean, Paul says, I worked harder than any of them, though not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Again, he modeled this effortful, grace-filled Christian living. But grace saves us not because of our potential. God doesn't look at us and says, oh, Lena looks like she's going to be a good doctor someday, and maybe she's going to teach the Bible someday, therefore I'll save her. No, he saves us despite us. He sees all of the sin, past, present, and future, that we will commit, even knowing better. And he still, while we were sinners, he demonstrates his love for us, and Christ dies for us in that state of sin. That's pretty incredible. That is why Paul is overwhelmed in these verses by God's grace. He recognizes his place. He's the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Hey, can you say that today in your life? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And do you recognize where you've come from? And do you see it as a gift of God's grace? Why don't you tell somebody about God's love for you today as you can meditate on his goodness to you? Why don't you email me at lena@livingwithpower.org and tell me that it is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. I would love to hear from you and know that I'm praying for you and rejoicing in God's grace over your life. I will see you again tomorrow.